this really cuts into what we do as herring fishermen during that time of the year, and that's catch herring. We run into haddock, yes, we do, but we all know what small amount of haddock is being caught, and the mortality effects of our activity out there is negligible. In fact, I think in the brief that the agency prepared in one of the myriad lawsuits against our activities, the amount is infinitesimal. This is spiteful. This is not fair management. This is spiteful. It does no bearing on the biology of the haddock, and it would eliminate the fall herring fishery on Georgia's, send us up into the Gulf of Maine to fish on small fish in the eastern area because of the extensive closures to protect spawn fish in the western Gulf of Maine at that point in time, which does not allow us to dip a net because, of course, Massachusetts and New Hampshire has required the spawning tolerance to be eliminated. So this is, I think this is spiteful. It's contrary to the intention of the framework as I understand it. And I do appreciate the council's efforts to break this logjam generally with some of the motions that we've already heard this morning. But this is one I think that makes no sense. And I hope that the the council votes it down. Thank you.
Okay, back to the council. Anyone wishing to speak in favor of the motion on the council? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Three. Opposed. I count 13. Abstentions. One. Motion fails 3-13 with one abstention. Anything further on this framework? Tom Neese.
In order for us to have any opportunity to get this in place by the fall, I think we're looking at a vote at the April council meeting. And I guess I would ask for those council members who are not committee members, Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we could take a minute or two to see if there's some particular issue they want to see analyzed. Because the reality is we're not going to have a lot of time for a lot of back and forth between the council and the PDT. The committee obviously will have a chance, but I don't know if there's any non-groundfish committee members who think there's something that should be analyzed or examined. If we get that up front now, we got a better chance of getting that done in time for the April meeting, if we have time to talk about it.
Doug Rout.
Yeah, the one thing that it may be something that's already in here, but that I think is important is that with all the options that we put here, is that if they reach a, that we have it divided out by fishing area, so that if the catch cap is reached at area three, it only closes down area three. If its catch cap is reached in other areas, it wouldn't affect the other areas. As opposed to right now, if the catch cap is reached, it closes down the entire fishery. So I think that's an issue I think needs to be addressed.
Pat Kirkle.
Yeah, I appreciate Tom raising the timing issues, right? This is going to be very tight. In fact, if the council makes changes at the April meeting and that delays council staff submitting it shortly after that meeting, we might even potentially miss the important period. I would guess at best we're looking at end of September or early October as a best case scenario as it is. So I would encourage the council to make sure that at the April meeting they're ready to take a final vote and that it doesn't impact on the staff's ability to submit the document.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. To Doug's point there, we did have significant discussion about that last week, and that's why if you look at the fourth option of the objectives to maximize the impact of the haddock cap on the entire herring fishery was added. So I think you're covered.
Anything else? Mark Gibson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. The only thought I had was that the data in hand for analyzing some of these the approved options has embedded in it the impacts of a very strong haddock year class that moved through the fishery, and to the extent that that is not likely to reoccur in the future in a probabilistic sense, you may need to look at that information for what it is, you know, something that was impacted by a giant ear class, and may need to take account of that. It's the only thought that I had. Thank you.
So you're saying that look at the strength of the ear class and its impact on what we've done thus far and look forward at what we know about ear classes.
Right. How the caps perform in the future may not be accurately described by how they will, by the data you have in hand, because it was a giant ear class moving, sequencing through those years.
Right. Okay. Anything else? Jim?
Yeah, as a follow-up to Mark Gibson's comment, and I'd like to correct something that I said related to this in my report yesterday. I told the council in my report that in the fall trawl survey, they encountered a lot of age zero haddock on George's Bank, which is correct, and I said that. But I was fuzzy about whether they were centimeters or inches and got a little confused there. But I checked with the center, and they expect those haddock to be recruiting into the fishery in 3 years or more, not in 1 or 2 years from now. Thank you.
Anything else to Tom's question? I guess the only thing I would add to that is would be helpful in April for us to know more about the SBRM and what we can expect for coverage levels. I look at Table 6 on page 22. There's a 2011 standard SBRM standard C-days, and then there's a 2011 SBRM prioritized C-days, and the values given for midwater, paired, and single trawl, open, all, any, all, is 190 and 235. Now, I don't know if those are the days that they're planning on putting on the boat or on the boats or not, but it'll be helpful for us as a council and the committee to understand if that's the level of coverage. Is there a way to utilize that coverage or direct it to benefit the herring fishery if it has specific priorities that the council wants to accomplish? So, number one, knowing how many days will be available, and number two, what, if any, recommendations would the committee want to make as to the allocation of those days that are being identified in the SBRM? Dr. Jim.
Yeah, I think that you've interpreted those numbers correctly, that the 235 days seems to be what they're proposing for the midwater trawl fishery for the coming year in New England. But that doesn't tell you on a finer scale whether they're going into Gulf of Maine or George's Bank. And that's a specific question about this framework.
No, I guess that's to my point, is that, you know, we can look backwards and perhaps look forward a year and try to understand what the number of trips or sea days would be in a given area based on the past patterns of the fishery. We're limited in somewhat in knowing what's going to happen next year. But we do know that the starting point, as proposed anyways, is 235 sea days. You know, and if the council wants to make a recommendation to prioritize the use of those days on Area 3, for instance, to maximize OI, that might be something the council wants to consider. So some thought at the PDT and committee level, so that when we assemble back again in April, we might have that information available to us. Anything else for Tom to consider and the committee to consider? You all set, Tom? Okay. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take up Amendment 5. Mm-hmm.